Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
18 years ago, God had a new chapter for my life. And he told me to go to Rwanda, the number one orphan need in the world. I didn't get a book. Could you maybe run and get me a book, please, Xander, off the front table there? And I went to Rwanda, and I saw these four children. When you watch the hockey game, Oilers today, praise the Lord. Go Oilers. When you see desperate children on the television, I had no heart of compassion. I fast-forwarded it and skipped them. But when you go to a country and you see children starving in front of your face, 18 years ago, totally changed my life. And I wrote a book during COVID called Meant for More. Thanks, Xander. Meant for More, and because there's four children that God used, I went there to help them, but God had a different plan. How many know God can use children to change your life? And those four children literally changed my life. We started sponsoring these four children. And in the book is a lot of success stories. This is one I'm very proud of. Connie put up the slide of these four children years later. That's the first child that we started sponsoring. Connie and I, that was our sponsor child. And look at them. Just 18 years later, they're they all successful young people. Some are married already. And it's fun to be able to sponsor children and see the after effect of what is happening. And Home of Hope has grown this last 18 years, and we're literally helping tens of thousands of children. I never thought I'd do that. That God wanted me to go to Africa and start churches and care for orphans. We didn't have a plan. It's never been one of my goals. But how many know, if you say God, one of the songs was new today, whatever you ask, I should have wrote it down. Those are great words today. Whatever you ask, Lord, every second, I'm going to give you my life. If you pray that, God listens to that. Are you sure, Brian, you're going to do what? I want you to go to Africa. And I didn't want to go to Africa. I didn't want to help children like that. But God's plans are bigger than our plans. And God's ways are higher than our ways. And to be in the center of God's will for your life. Young people, best thing you can do is say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? And that's one of the purposes of our Bible college. You get closer to Jesus, know the Bible better, but then find out God's will for your life. And Bible college can be a foundation, even if you want to be a doctor or a... What did you want to do last night? You said you're going to be an ultrasound technician. Okay, that would be fine. We'll take that. Whatever. Just be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we help thousands of kids in many different ways, and we couldn't do it without sponsors. And if you sponsor a child with Home of Hope or you donate money to Home of Hope, can you just stand up right now? I just want to honor you and thank you. Can you guys give these a clap? Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you, thank you so much. It's just absolutely wonderful to be able to have people that believe in you. And for 18 years, you know, God told me to help children. I've never taken one penny from any money that has been donated. So we partner together with you. And one of the great things you can do, I can't say this to too many churches, but if you sponsor a child, you can apply to come on a trip if you want. Talk to Mike first. He can warn you. But as you can see, it's very, very emotional to meet your sponsor child. And I'm just guessing that you sponsored for 8 years, Joy, when you went over with me. And then they hugged, and she hung out with them for the whole day. And then the next slide is about when you guys also sponsor a baby thrown away live in the Dream Center. And JD drew a picture, as he's so fantastic with art and drawing. And that little boy is, he wanted to be... Well, they called him Mr. President because he was in charge of all the other kids. So JD drew a picture of him with the Kenyan flag that someday he might prophesy to be the leader of Kenya. You just never know. You never know. So we help children, number one, with monthly sponsorship. We feed 6,000 children at least every week. And it's just amazing. You want to help in any of these different areas? It's just amazing that we could just... when you go over and you preach the gospel, like in Congo, in refugee camps, where there's tens of thousands of people living in refugee camps, it breaks your heart. And I just stood there once saying, God, how do we sponsor one child at a time? What do you want me to do, God? And I just heard God clearly. Hey, I was in Pinocchio on Friday. I didn't cry once. I stood there. And I just heard God say, feed them. Jesus said that in the Bible, feed them. And we feed thousands of kids just because we can't raise sponsorship for that many. And we also do animals, as JD knows, carry animals on the back of motorcycles and drive up the hills of Rwanda. He came back after about 4 hours. We had like, how many bikes? There were like 6 bikes going, all carrying a pig. And they're all way. He said, Brian, you see that mountain? We were on the other side of that mountain. His face was all brown from the dust. And, okay, it was funny. Bible college. There you go. You can come. Then we also help children for the price of a Starbucks. Anybody like Starbucks? Price of a Starbucks coffee, you can give a child free medicine for the entire year in Rwanda and Congo. $6 gives them free medicine. The number one killer, we got to check this statistic, Con, if you can help me, but the number one killer in the world used to be malaria. And that's preventable and treatable. But if kids don't have that health card, they'll die of malaria. $6, you can have, enjoy your Starbucks. But you could give the same amount of money to help children. And one of our newest projects, we're rescuing street children in 3 different countries. And we've rescued 20 street children in the last few months in Bukavu, where there's war happening. DR Congo, this search. It's impossible for me to get in there right now because rebel soldiers, 40,000 rebel soldiers are surrounding Goma City, where we have 20 churches. It's impossible for us to get there. But we're helping street kids. And for a one-time donation, we can get them off the street, give them a mattress, so they can go into a Christian family and unravel their mattress, sleep, then in the morning, ravel it up, and we're teaching kids how to work. I was on a farm. My dad taught me to get up and clean the pigs and feed the pigs before getting on the bus. The kids in the bus could not stand the smell. Brian, can you please not wear the same shoes as you clean the pigs out with it? Can you have a bath after you? But we teach street kids how to make their own money. And they go door-to-door selling charcoal and also crushing rocks into crushed gravel. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. And one of our favorite is the microloans. If a mother can work, we help the mother make her own money, feed her own children, send her own kids to school. And we have these food carts that are just working tremendously. And I just want to thank City Life for helping. But thank you for the very generous donations. And also, I just be reminded that Voltage Kids give money every Sunday, and all that money goes to help these 2 kids that Voltage Kids sponsor. So thank you, adults. Teach your kids how to work. And then bring the money on Sunday and put it into helping 2 other children. And sometimes you can also maybe do a Zoom call. It might be possible to do it live right into your class. We can talk more about that. And I just want to say Kenya is a beautiful country, and some of my best friends are Kenyans. But what this is about is a terrible dump, 30-acre dump, where Pastor Monica was with me, one of the grossest places in the world. Pastor Monica, you were there. And we were praying and asking God, what do we do? Because babies were being thrown away live right there, these ugly birds. We're getting to these babies before they could be rescued, and God gave us an idea to put up these great big signs, 3 of them, at the 3 entrances into this 30-acre dump. Please don't throw away your babies. Imagine that on the main street of Leduc. Call this number, and we're still getting 10 to 15 calls every day. Most of them are girls 14, 15, and 16 years old. Living in a slum of 700,000, they're illiterate, they're starving, the skinniest little girls you've ever seen, and they just have to, they have no hope, so a lot of them are throwing babies away. But we have rescued 620 babies since this started 12 years ago. If you're interested, we have a bunch of babies that have been rescued recently at the back. This little girl, Savannah, it says, if I can read it, a little blurry. She was rescued at approximately 2 months of age, was abandoned in the slum, 700,000. Around midnight, she was thrown away, but someone found her, clothed her, and took her to the clinic and rescued her. I was over there in November,
And I was with Grant Rogers, who did some of the drone shots, and one of our Bible college students. And we worked hard all day, and we were having supper. And George, the hero of our show, gets a phone call and said, there's a baby rescued. And I could just feel my heart sink. And I said, well, I want to meet the baby. And they brought the baby to the restaurant. We went outside into the van. And we're looking at this little baby and found out some babies are taken and put, like, literally on the ground underneath our sign. Some are taken to a friend, say, can you watch my baby? And they never come back. They run. But this baby was being killed and thrown away in a body of water. And someone, a good Samaritan, saw this happen, reached into the water and saved this baby and called the number. And I'm sitting in the van holding this little baby. And I call my daughter, Carissa, because we're 9 hours ahead, so she was in the office. I said, there's a baby boy. Is there anybody on the waiting list? And you can be on the waiting list if you want. And here's somebody on the waiting list. So Carissa phones the person who happened to be in Red Deer. There's a baby boy. Do you want to sponsor the baby boy? What's the baby boy's name? We have to do it like within 24 hours. And so Carissa texts me back and said, they're calling him Enzo. So I'm holding this little baby, thinking of Moses in the Bible, where Pharaoh wanted to kill all the babies, but God had a special plan for Moses. And I'm holding this little baby, and I'm saying, someone tried to kill you today, but we declare you're wanted, you're needed. And just like God had a plan for Moses, you know, the Bible says God's no respecter of persons. He loves you just as much as Moses. He loves you just as much as Mary in the Bible. And we say, you are loved. I had a little baby dedication. And then the three of us went back to the hotel and cried. That little baby's alive and thriving just because of that. And if you're interested as well, we have cards at the back for some of the sponsors, some of the caregivers that are there 24 hours caring for the children. And the Nairobi government puts a lot of regulations on us. Mike, the doors have to swing the right way. We had to change all the doors in the whole Dream Center because they had to swing the right way because babies need that, I guess. But we have to have one caregiver for every four children, so it's a lot of money to raise just for the caregivers. But we want the children to be cared for. Con, if you can find 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're just reading the Bible one day, and I came across this verse years ago, and it just sums up so much of what we've been doing, and it's how God... He lifts the poor from the dust and the needy from the garbage dump. Isn't that amazing? He sets them among the princes, placing them on a throne of honor. So we're rescuing these babies out of the garbage, and we are trying our best to treat them like princes, give them the best of the best, and the best education, and the best care, and the best love. And we're just so thankful for this. This book has three different things. Number one, I was meant for more. At age 48, God had something I didn't see coming. He just kind of wants to hijack your life. And he has. The Bible says that he has plans for us before the world was even created. He's ordained for us to do good deeds, Ephesians chapter 2. The second part of this book is that those babies have a calling and a destiny in their life. But number three, you have a calling and a destiny. When you point to your neighbor, you have a calling. You have a destiny. Are you fulfilling your destiny? Maybe you're watching online. Are you fulfilling your destiny? And I can testify, walking in God's will for your life. You know, I was a pig farmer, and then we're delivering pigs in Rwanda. You know, just kind of, your just life just folds together. And I want to just give you a few points real quick about how you can walk into the next chapter of your life. Number one, know that God wants to speak to you. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. He wants to speak to you. He loves you, like I said, just like Moses or Abraham or Esther. He has no partiality. It's like having 14 grandkids. I can't say, Xander, I love you more than all the others, but you're really special. You can't be stupid. God's not stupid. He loves everybody the same. You don't have to be Moses that parted the Red Sea or Brian that goes to Africa. But please find out what you're doing, what you are called to do on this planet. God will instruct you. He will guide you into the destiny that he has for you. Number two, I want to encourage you to keep reading the Bible. The Bible can and will come alive as you read it in your own life. a speaker came to our church once, and he was meeting with us, and he kind of put me on the spot. He said, "Brian, do you read the Bible every day?" And I go, he's 6 foot, and he's Australian. And I go, "Oh, yes, we read the Bible every day." And he talked about every day he reads the Bible, and he asked Jesus for a verse just for him for that day to come alive. So, you know, it's good. Read the Bible. But ask God for a specific verse. That was something that I started doing when I met him. Psalm 119, God's word will come alive and will help guide your feet in the right pathway. Seek after God. You know, in this whole thing, as God was leading me to help orphans, I'm going, "God, how can I do this? How do I raise my plane tickets? And how do I, you know, I'm a traveling speaker." And some churches, literally, I travel and preach, and they don't even pay my gas. And I'm not negative, because God's will's God's bill. Amen? But I'm thinking, "Oh, God, how? And I read this book, verse in Proverbs chapter 28, 27. And it says, "If you take care of the poor, I will take care of you." And I can testify, again, I don't take 1 cent from any donations, but I've had the least financial pressure this last 18 years of the rest of my life. Like, we raised 4 kids and had bills and shoes growing and but God takes care of us. But that Bible verse came alive and gave me faith and an extra confidence to walk in what God has for us. So expect God to lead you and to show you. Maybe some of you are just kind of in nebulous land. God can take you by the right hand. I jumped over this, Connie. Psalm 73, God's going to take us by the right hand, and he wants to lead us. Like, we're a blind person. God wants to take you by the hand and lead you left, right, and guide you, because he has a glorious future. Can you say it with me? Glorious. "Well, if I serve God, am I going to end up with this woman with one tooth? Praise the Lord." Come on, God's got good things for you. His will is good and acceptable. It's perfect. Look at when you live for God. Look at, I'm married up. Woohoo! I've lost count of how many people come up to me and say, "Brian, your wife is gorgeous." I go, "I know, hallelujah." If you serve Jesus, Bible college. Chris, if you serve Jesus, get ready. Number 3, spend time with God and listen. God wants to speak to you. God doesn't speak to me. He only speaks to Pastor Monica. No, listen to this. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." To follow God's will, you have to hear what he's saying to you. And he wants to speak to you. You are important to God. Maybe you've never been to church before. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. He has a plan for you. He has a purpose for you. Number 4. Listen to other godly people and ask for their advice and counsel. I was praying over this morning, and I really felt, you know, some people can just go on the internet and watch all kinds of kooky things out there. But I want to encourage you, those people online don't know you. Your pastors know you. And the team of people, all the team of people, we prayed with a whole great big team here. I want to encourage you, trust people that God has brought in your life before you make important decisions. You know, Zoe was asking us questions yesterday, and how do you know who to marry and who not to marry? And we said, this couple were falling in love, and we begged them, "Please don't get married." Doing premarital. It just was, everything was wrong, and we knew the history of both of them, and it was just praying. You asked our advice, you're adults, do what you want. You want our advice? Please don't get married. They didn't take our advice. And their life ended up in horrible. It's good to listen to some advice. Amen. Teenagers, listen to your mother. I listened to my wife. I said, Connie, you're right most of the time. She goes, "No, I'm right all the time." I will think about this. She said that this morning. I'm going to be thinking of 46 years of marriage if there was ever a time you were wrong. Number 5. No matter what our vocation, all of us in this room have the same calling. Part of the calling is our calling is to tell people about Jesus. You go be an ultrasound specialist, but you, Zoe, have to tell people about Jesus. It's the number one reason we're alive. You know, I always kind of torment grandkids, and I had an invitation for this morning. I said, "Xander, would you please take this to the hotel as you leave?" And he goes, "Oh." I said, "It's easy. It's a movie. You can do it." Well, if I do it, my sister will laugh. I said, Zoe, don't laugh at him. Just, you know. And she laughed. But he did it. He handed out an invitation last night. That's hard to do sometimes, but you're inviting people to a movie. You can do it. Whatever you are called to do in this life, every one of us are called to tell people about Jesus. Paul the Apostle said, my life is worth nothing unless I use it for the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. Every one of us, students at your school, you're called to tell people about Jesus and let him lead you, let him guide you. Don't be weird. I can be weird sometimes. Don't be weird. Number six, do what God wants you to do. John chapter 2, Jesus' mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And when they did it, a miracle happened. I want to encourage you, listen to God and then obey, because God can give you miracle after miracle after miracle. My last point here today is one of the greatest prayers that you can ever pray are these eight words. Lord, what do you want me to do? Paul the Apostle was not a Christian at one time. He was killing Christians. He hated Christ. And he's walking along the road to Damascus, and he had an encounter with God. Have you had an encounter with God? He met God, and a voice spoke to him and said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And Paul realized he had made a mistake, and there really is a God. There really is a Jesus who died on the cross. Everything started to click. And he said the most powerful eight words you can ever pray. Paul on the road said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And if you've never given your life to Christ, or you're a Christian for many, many years like me, I try to pray this prayer every day. Lord, you are Lord. I'm not the boss. You are the Lord. You have a plan. You have a purpose. What do you want me to do? Let's bow our heads today. You know, the best way to ever give your life to Christ is in a moment like this, where the Holy Spirit maybe is speaking to you. Maybe you were invited here by a friend to watch a movie. If you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to declare to you that he loves you just as much as Moses. I want to declare to you that he has a plan and a purpose for you. He has another chapter for you. You need to ask him to forgive you of your sins and to invite him to come into your life. First of all, that you go to heaven. But secondly, that you realize the great calling he has for you right on this earth. Just with our heads bowed here today, I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but I'd like to pray with some people. If you've never given your life to Christ, or you need to come back to God, can you just put up your hand really quick? When I count three, just one, two, three, put up your hand. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Can everybody in this room just pray this prayer with many people that lifted their hands here today? Pray this prayer with me and say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I decide today to follow you. Come into my life. Wash away my sins. Take me by the right hand. Lead me to heaven, but lead me to glorious destiny here on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.